Well, hello runners. Welcome to episode 33 of the Iron Things podcast, the podcast for the everyday runner in search for that extra bit of motivation to get out there. My name is Susie, and I am your host. In today's episode, we chat with Lara and Lori, who run the YouTube channel Relentless Pursuit of Shade, about the Space Coast Half Marathon. Space Coast is one of the first major races to take place in the US under COVID restrictions. In this interview, you will find out more about how the race directors communicated the changes implemented for the safety of runners and spectators, what happened during the race, and what Lara and Lori thought about it. They bring an interesting individual perspective because this was Lori's third time running the race, while it was Lara's first. The episode was recorded in two different installments. The pre-race report was recorded a few days before the race, and the post-race report a few hours after the race. The links to their social media will be in the show notes, so please show them some love by following them on Instagram and YouTube. I am sure they will very much appreciate your support. And now, without further ado, let's jump into the interview. Hi, ladies. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you, too.
I am so excited to have you come to the show and speak about, this marathon that's going live. Very, very excited to have you guys and talk about your pre-race and then your post-race when you come back. So first and foremost, why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
So I am Lori. We have a channel, the Relentless Pursuit of Shade. It's on YouTube. So we kind of chronicle our long runs mostly. And we are goofballs, right? Kind of. Yeah, we just kind of have fun with it. So I've been running for a long time, but I started doing races and all that in 2013. And it was because of the Space Coast half marathon. So I remember I was running with my friend Debbie. She's the one that is the rocket scientist that we're going to be running this race with. And I did 6 miles with her, and she was like, "You should do this race with me." And there's this Big Bang series. See, I got the Big Bang series medals right here. She said, "And you can sign up for 5 years and you get 7 medals. And I was like, "There's no way I can run 13 miles. And she said, if you can run 6, you can run 13. That was my first half marathon was this race.
Did you do the full last year, or did you do the half as well?
I have only done half at this marathon. You just did one, but I'm not sure I'd want to do a marathon in Florida. I'm a little bit scared of it.
You're probably right about that.
But I mean, you just did one. So, you know, people do them. I mean, I'll look at Disney. But anyway, yeah, we're doing the half. We do the half every year since 2013. I've done the half every year. And I run it with my friend Debbie, who got me into doing half marathons. So
how about you, Lara?
I'm Lara. I just started participating with the ladies on the Relentless Pursuit of Shade channel a couple of years ago, since when I met them. I started running because it's kind of weird. Right before I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I ran a 15K, not knowing exactly what the next year was going to look like for me. And then I couldn't run for a year because of treatments and all of that. And then picked up running again as soon as I could. since then have really only half marathons have been as long as I was ever interested in doing. The Space Coast, by the way, yes, it has a marathon and it has two halves. There's a north half and a south half. Mm-hmm. So there's two different directions that it goes. But and I've never had an interest in doing a marathon, but I had signed up for Dublin and had gotten into the Dublin Marathon, and then it was canceled. And because I had trained, I did it virtually. And
I saw that. Congratulations.
Yeah. So, and because of the ladies, because of Relentless Pursuit of Shade, but because of, if you watch the channel, Susan's our third, the third of us. And we, because of them, they have challenged me in a really soft way just to continue to expand my horizons. Mm-hmm. And so therefore here I am.
So is this your first time running Space Coast?
This is my first time running Space Coast. And that's because St. Petersburg, Florida has a major running weekend the week before Space Coast every year. And I have participated in that multiple years and haven't, and I just couldn't do both. And this year they canceled. So I said, well, I'll hop on the Space Coast bandwagon.
So since you, Lori, have run it last year, how is it different so far, like in the communications that you've been getting from the organizers? How do you think this is going to be different?
There are less people. I think from what I've seen, it's going to be around 3,500 people. Usually, I think it's more like 6,000.
Okay.
So it's a little bit smaller, but still a major event. Usually you can bring your family. There's a big circle shaped waterfront park that they have a big, huge after party. They have bounce houses shaped like the space shuttle and, you know, lots of things for kids to do. So you could bring your family there and the kids can run around while they're waiting for mom or dad to finish the race. You can, you know, have your family eat with you, and they usually have a full breakfast. I mean, they have scrambled eggs, pancakes, sausage, everything, pizza, craft beer, I don't know, just all so much. It's almost like a big festival type party afterwards. And this year, I don't think they're having any of that.
No.
So they're going to have like bagged, pre-bagged food for us. Yeah, I'm guessing that they'll probably have plenty of food for us to eat. Although we don't normally eat very much afterwards. Usually have a beer, you know, and a banana, right?
To hydrate.
You have a beer, you drink water first. You're in Florida, so you have to drink water. So the first thing you do is get water.
Drink the entire bottle.
Drink the entire bottle. Then you go to the bathroom, and then you go and find the beer.
Yeah.
So, and then a banana.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know that we're going to miss that so much, but I think a lot of people, it's a very family-friendly event. And people are not going to be able to bring their kids and have like this big dance party and everything that goes on. They're not doing medals.
Well, they're not doing medals afterwards. They're actually giving you your medal in your packet when you pick it up, which is a little.
Oh, odd. Wow.
Yeah. So you have your medal before you actually run, which is unusual, but.
So I don't know, like, you know, they want us to take pictures with like the marathon photo people and stuff, but we won't have the medal around our neck unless we go to the bag check. The bag check is still there.
Yep.
So we could go to bag check and get our medals and then put them on.
That's interesting because other races, I know they've been putting the medals in the whatever packet they give you at the end. So they give any food or anything, they put it like if there's a bagel, bananas, whatever, they put it there in the back. So everybody has they don't put it around your neck, but they give it to you at the end.
And you have to wear your masks until the start line and as soon as you finish.
Right.
So that will be interesting as well, figuring out how everybody's going to be hanging around and wearing their mask in the mask required areas and having the food.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see how people space themselves out. Because it's usually like just like any other marathon and half marathon that's a big event, people are normally like just smushed in. And it's a small town where this happens in Cocoa, Florida. It's a very small little neighborhood type town. And so the streets are small but the way that they have it spaced out now is I think maybe a couple hundred people per block.
Yeah.
So you have to, if you're in this one group, then you're going to be on this block. And if you're in this group, it's going to be in another block. And that's how they're going to space us out so that we're not all like, you know.
Next, yeah, like shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
How are they spacing out the people? Are they organizing it by speed or do you guys know?
It's got to be speed.
I would imagine it's by speed and by your projected finish time. Then there's corrals. So you're assigned a corral and I would imagine it's based on projected finish time.
Yeah. So the first thing is if you're a marathoner, you're going to go first. So the marathoners are going to leave first and then the north half of the half marathon will leave second. So the marathon does both. It does the north half and the south half. Then there's two half marathons and it's been like that for probably about 5 years with them. So you can go on the north half. And if you go on the north half, it's pretty cool because you do run by NASA, you run by the Space Center. Okay. So you get to see that, but there's not a lot down there. If you go on the south half, it's like a big party. It's like a neighborhood, a waterfront neighborhood. You walk, run along the river and all the houses, the people that live in these houses come out and they cheer you on and they have, you know, full pancake breakfasts and every shot you can think of and Krispy Kreme donuts and everything. So it's fun. You know, you have people just standing in their front yard with music pumping and stuff. So it's the fun. I think it's more like the fun half of the race.
And it's the only half that they let the walkers. So they actually have a longer period of time for you to be able to finish the south course than the north course. And the north course is really, it's meant for people who are going to run solidly. And the south is more, it's for walkers and runners.
Yeah. The Jeff Galloway, I guess, is from Jacksonville, Florida. And so the Galloway method is very, very popular, especially on that side of the state. So we live on the west side of the state and we're going to drive over to the east side. So the Galloway runners or the run walk method is huge with this race. And normally they have pace groups that are just for the Galloway runners that will do everything from 13 minutes per mile, I think down to 10. So you can, you know, so you could do a run walk pace group.
There's no pacers.
No pace groups
in this. So
yeah, this time there's none, but normally they have those.
Right. I guess the idea is to not have people congregate.
Right.
Because when you are with a pace group, there's a lot. I mean, you can tell, you kind of see where the pacers are going to be because there's a lot more people. So even if you don't see the sign, there's, you know,
there's
a group of people together. So it's probably a good idea because then people just space out. Yeah. So are they going to be doing any kind of temperature checks or anything like that? I guess it would be crazy for so many people, right?
I didn't see that they're going to do temperature checks. I have seen a couple of future, just kind of looking at some runs coming up in the future that they talk about the possibility of doing temperature checks, but I haven't seen that in any of the documentation for this one. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think, Lori, that I noticed today when I was reading through what they call their captain's log, is that they do indicate that they're asking you not to wear headphones. Which is generally not normal for these types of races.
Right.
And they mentioned that it was because the roads were not going to be closed to traffic. And I think you said that that's not normal.
Normally there
has been in the past.
Normally that road is pretty much closed off.
So do you run on like actual open roads or is it more like through a park?
No, it's open roads.
Oh, wow. So it's going to be 3,500 people. That's a lot of people to have in open roads.
Yeah, so it seems a little odd. So I don't know how, we got to check it out.
I will say that the race starts at 6 a.m. We will start somewhere between 6:20 and 6:40 on a Sunday morning, the Sunday morning after Thanksgiving.
Right.
So, and then we're going to be running through a waterfront residential neighborhood. So there's just not a lot of traffic. I mean,
that's used to this and that knows that what it's looking like. So they're probably prepared for what it is.
So I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. I think, you know, maybe the little town, maybe there might be, because there's a church there. People go to church. I know every year there's a parking issue with the church. There's always drama. Like the church people are out there like, don't park in our parking lot. We need to be able to leave, you know, our church room for our parishioners and stuff. But other than the church, like nothing's open yet. You know, it's closed. Everything's closed.
Right. Right. The restaurants, nothing's going to have the activity levels and, you know, other years experience. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to? Like, I bet you're really excited because this is, when was the last time you did a live race? Last year?
Well, no, we did a live race in the summer.
Okay.
And what was it, the end of July or beginning of August? There was one of the local running groups did a live race on the beach, which we normally have a lot of those. It was a bear of a race. I think we have a blog about that, or vlog about that out there. It was ridiculously hot. It was on a very non-hard packed portion of
loose
the beach.
Sand.
We were in pain, and it was only 5K. But it had a rolling start and kind of gave us a feel for what it could possibly be like. But I think there was a limit of 200 people for that. So
I think it was 100.
Yeah, it was really small. So that was the last in real life one. But other than that, it's been since Best Damn Race. Was it?
I did Gasparilla. I did Gasparilla in February.
Yeah. It's exciting to be back. It'll be really neat to be back with people. When I did the virtual marathon, that's the thing that everybody said that I really miss, is that getting all of those people who are helping you through those last few miles. And, you know, I've done enough live races to know what that feels like. So it'll feel good to do this again.
It will.
So it really will.
And I think given that this one is through a neighborhood, it's not in a park or, you know, like any other type of, it's a neighborhood, so that you're going to find families coming out,
right?
Because obviously families, they're together anyway, so they're going to, you know, it's possible they're going to have a table out. They'll wave at you and have posters and things like that. So I think this should be a good experience for you guys. How was the training? How did you guys train?
Do you want to go over your training first? Why don't you do your training first?
I don't know. So I guess, really my training was the training for the marathon. That's really what it came down to. And it's been, the great thing about it is that Lori was with me the majority of the time, even knowing that she was going to do the Space Coast before I knew that I would be doing it. So she's been doing some pretty aggressive miles, even when she didn't have to be, but doing them with me. It's been an incredibly hot and humid summer in Florida. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. It was a rough summer to train, but we would get up at the crack of dawn. We have managed to get some really great lighted gear so that nobody's going to hit us in the morning if whatever traffic we see, and you know, just really get up as early as we possibly can to try and get it as cool as we possibly can through that. So my training really was the training for the marathon, which twisted my ankle 2 weeks beforehand. So I had to shut off for 2 weeks to really get myself to be able to be in a good shape to actually run the 26. And then because that was so much work and even work on an already injured tough ankle, I took pretty much a solid 2 weeks off afterwards to really give myself a chance to heal. So we did 10 miles last weekend. We did 8 miles this morning. Yeah. Was our last long run beforehand. And I think I'm in good shape. I need to get a couple more short runs in this week, but that's pretty much been my training.
Yeah. You're ready. You're totally ready. You're like,
I would agree. Yeah.
You're going to sit through it after doing a marathon. You're gonna be like, that's it. I'm done. So yeah, I mean, I did a very overly aggressive training plan that I downloaded from Runkeeper. I've been a Runkeeper girl since literally they first came out. I have almost 11,000 runs tracked on Runkeeper. And so I'm having a very difficult time with letting go of it or using something else because it's what I know. But their training programs that they used to have like an intermediate, a novice, half marathon programs and things like that. And now what it does is it looks at how much miles you normally put in and what you can do. And it goes, oh, look, you could do all this. So it just kind of manufactures its own
plan,
which was just way too much for me. And so what happened was I started getting overwhelmed with how many miles and the intervals and things like that. You know, running is more like a hobby, you know, for us or whatever. We're not amateurs.
We're not professionals.
We do it for fun. We like to enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I had to sort of redo it. Right in the middle of it, but I kept most of the long runs, and the midweek runs I had to adjust just about every week. So that kind of made me sad, because you know, when you know Susie, I know you do this too. I mean, you download a training plan and you're like, I'm gonna do all these miles. You write them down on your calendar so that they're written and they're gonna happen, you know. And it just was too much for me. But I'm fine. Yeah. I have done
more than enough.
A zillion.
More than enough.
I mean, for a half marathon, I've done 2 12-mile runs.
Yeah, we did a 10 last year.
I did a 10. I've done an 11. And then I also did another 10, a couple eights, and a 9. I mean, I've done more.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I've seen you. Obviously, I follow you on YouTube.
Yeah. It made me a little sad that I just couldn't do what Runkeeper's computer program.
It's kind of interesting that they would choose to do that too, because I read somewhere, I think it was on the New York Times, that with COVID, Runkeeper had multiplied by 800% their downloads. So you would think that when they have so many downloads, it's because they're doing something right. So changing it now after they've been so successful, I don't know. I mean, they probably have their data that supports making a change like this, but I used Runkeeper for my first half marathon and it was just such a phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, I was so happy with Runkeeper. The thing is, after, I think it was free for 3 months and then you had to pay for the training. Yeah. So then I started using, I think it was Endomondo, because Endomondo was free for another 3 months. So I was like kind of going back and forth. Yeah, yeah. So how are you getting there? Like, if you have to start, walk me through your plan for the day of the race. How are you getting there? How early are you going to wake up?
So I usually get up around 5 o'clock for this race. And I stay at Debbie's house. I always stay at Debbie's house normally. She lives a few miles away.
Okay.
So normally I drive us in and she knows where to park, but they do have like hotels and buses and things. So if you don't have like an insider, you know, you can, but I think mm-hmm. I'm probably going to pick you up at your hotel.
You might.
Yeah.
I have an Airbnb nearby.
So yeah. Airbnb. Yeah.
And I'm probably going to get up. I have to get up a couple of hours solidly before a run to go through all of my morning, whatever, and to make sure I've gotten something. Now I've learned, that's one of the things that I learned training for the marathon was about nutrition. Cause I've run a zillion, I don't say a zillion, I've run three or four halves now. And I always find that at the end I'm ready. I'm just about ready to die. And I am so done. And I never really cared about paying about a nutrition before, but I knew I was never going to make it to 26 if I didn't figure out what was going on. So we've spent a lot of time working through that. And I learned a lot in prep for the marathon. So now I know what I have to eat, how early I have to eat it before the run, have my coffee. Cause I have to have my coffee in the morning. And then, you know, do stretching and stuff like that, which has been a little bit more important since the injury and all of that. So I need enough time to get up and to do that even before somebody picks me up and we get on our way there. So,
So we usually just get there and then we kind of just walk right up. I mean, and it's just, it's only because we'll have Debbie with us and she literally, her mother-in-law, her husband's mom lives on the road where she always stands outside. She's one of the ladies waving. That's where, you know, we did a vlog on that where Debbie and I ran along the race, you know, where the race is, because we just went and parked at our mother-in-law's house and did that. So we'll just drive right in and we won't have too much drama because we know she knows what to do.
Yeah.
Right. Do you guys have breakfast before a half marathon? Do you eat anything?
I'll have a protein bar or a banana or something at least an hour beforehand. I won't eat anything solidly an hour beforehand. So I don't.
What about you, Lori?
Any opportunity to be upset.
I know. Yeah. Right. I will probably have like a banana and a granola bar, and that'll be it. No coffee for me before the half marathon, but Diet Coke afterwards. Don't hate.
A lot of people get it, and there's no real science we have because there's no sugar in Diet Coke. Yeah. But
always people that get mad when you say it. They're like, no. They're like, type it in.
There's so many people.
Yeah.
Who have a Diet Coke either before, during, or after. So there's got to be, I don't know, maybe the taste or the bubbly. It's, or maybe that you're used to it and your body feels like, you know, makes you feel good. That's enough. You don't need anything else.
Yeah, the bubbly feeling, like, I don't know, it gives me like a little bit of a tank, like, I don't know, something in my head, like, oh. Yeah.
All very mental.
Susan does that too. She does a Diet Coke usually afterwards too. So,
well, I'm almost immediately going to go back, shower and drive home because I have to work the next day and it's hours away. So, that's pretty much me. And actually after the race, unless there's a big party and this is going to be, I probably would have planned to take the next day off if it would had wasn't COVID year, if it wasn't 2020 and all the things weren't changed and we could have partied and had a bit of a better time. My husband was going to go with me and we were going to make a weekend of it. And now he's not because he can't be there. So, I think I'm just going to have to go on the high of having done in real life race. That's really, really what I'm going to be on. So, you'll be with Debbie.
I'm going to take a nap.
I'm going to drive home. She's going to take a nap.
Yeah.
And in terms of the swag,
I have one of the shirts on right now, but the shirt.
That's really nice.
It is.
These shirts.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Tell me. Oh, wow.
This is like one of the space shuttle ones.
It's a long sleeve.
And then they always have like stuff on you know, on the side, you know.
The design is really, really neat.
Yeah, there's a white one here.
This year's is black again. It is black.
There's a white one.
Wow.
And they also always, and I'm really sorry, but these are not in great condition because I use them to wrap my paddleboard. So they give you one of these towels.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's super nice.
At the end, they did say you do get that at the end of the race. So we won't get a medal, but we'll get that.
Because, you know, we'll go and run. And if it's like 60 degrees, which I think it will be, we'll be in our t-shirts and shorts or tank top and in shorts. Mm-hmm. And then you finish and you're sweaty and you do get cold.
Right.
So you towel to, you know, warm yourself up because, believe it or not, I mean, we're not used to being cold at all, you know, ever. We don't like to be cold, do we?
No, never like cold. The air conditioning in my office is awful.
So, and then, you know, the medals, I'm going to get 2 medals this year, but because I'm completing my third year.
Yeah.
So they have like bonus medals. So I complete 3 years, I'm going to get 2 medals. So this one, you know, the medals are all like glittery.
That's so pretty.
And then, this is one from 2 years ago. This is one of the ones from 2 years ago. So you can see that it's very glittery. And then the ones that are like the bonus medals, they're like really big, you know. They're like Flava Flav is what I call it. You know, like they're big and bulky, like this one, like it has like a stand. So, and then they always give you a moon pie.
Are they local moon pies or is it just because it's moon?
Actually, I think moon pies are more of a northern thing. But
I was gonna say, I thought they were like Philadelphia or something. I could be wrong, but I think
they don't really taste that good. I mean, they're kind of usually we give them to the kids and stuff.
So you get a lot in this race. You get your medal, your long sleeve t-shirt, you get the towel, and you get a ton of food at the end, typically. So you get a lot. For how much did you pay for the?
I think I paid, I came in a little later. I'm pretty sure I paid $95 for it.
Yeah. So it's still, it's a really good price.
It's a deal and a half. I mean,
yeah. And I think if you register when it first comes out, there's obviously discounts.
No, there's no discount.
Oh, there's not?
No.
It doesn't start earlier.
Okay. No, because it's such a popular race and $95 is really a good deal. So I literally register like the moment that it goes on sale, because sometimes it sells out.
Yeah.
But it did not sell out this year.
No, but the marathon did. I actually, when I knew that I couldn't run my virtual the weekend I had planned, I had to push it off a week. I did look at switching to do the marathon, to do the Space Coast actual marathon, but it was full. So the marathon is sold out. The halves are still not quite yet. So
very cool. So I'm super excited to have you guys come back and tell us how the experience was.
We can't wait to tell you about it. So
yeah, I'm sure. I mean, and it's just like 8 days away. So
I know. I'm so excited for a live race. I really am. I know it's so tough to be like that in these times right now. But there's just, I've missed it so much. And I don't know that you really realize how much you miss it until you're getting ready for the next, you know, for something big. So
right. Just the fact that you have your bib, that it's timed, that you're like in a course, that, you know, I don't know, it's just the whole atmosphere is so special when you're doing a race. Yeah, there's nothing that compares to
that, right? So you just did that. So yeah.
Yeah, mine was on a park though. So there were no people cheering on you or anything. I mean, there were people walking their dogs and like bikers and other runners who were not in the race. So, but it still felt, you know, like just the fact that someone's telling you go. there's the, you know, the national anthem. It's just the whole, even if it's less people.
Just the experience.
It's just the experience. It makes you feel like you're racing, which otherwise, even if you do a virtual, even if you're with people on the virtual, it's just not the same thing. It's just, I don't know. The adrenaline, you don't get that rush.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That you do get with the race. So
we're excited. Yeah. So, and we'll have video. I'm sure both of us will take some video along the way of people, you know, so everybody can get to see what it looks like and what it feels
like. This is a major, I mean, there's a lot of people who run, I mean, I don't know this year, but there's a fair amount of content out there on YouTube for Space Coast Marathon.
It's a Boston qualifier.
It is.
So, you know, it is a Boston qualifier.
And
so
and relatively flat. So, you know, you can, if you're fast, you can, Susan qualified for Boston 1 year running that marathon. Because really, the hills that are on it are just like slight rolling hills and that's it. So, and it's shaded, which is always a big deal in Florida. I mean, that's why we call ourselves the Relentless Pursuit of Shade. Have to have shade in Florida. The sun really, I know it's funny, but the sun is so intense.
It's true.
Very cool.
Awesome.
I'm so excited to have you guys come back and share your story.
We look forward to telling you all about it. Awesome. Thanks, Susie, for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
so
you so much.
And also, we just wanted to congratulate you on the Yeti Challenge. And
thank you.
Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How are you doing?
Hi, Susie.
Doing great. How are you?
Smiles, on your faces. And it, I'm so I was poking at social media today. And I heard about the weather. So, but I'm sure that's going to come up, you know, when you guys report how it went for you. So, the first question I have, and I saw you, Lara, on YouTube packing your stuff yesterday. Did you have everything with you that you needed for the race today? Because you were packing and going into a hotel.
I did. I had more than enough. I had all kinds of stuff. So, which is good. It's weird for me. Like I think I said, is I just want to make sure I'm comfortable. And if I put something on and I don't feel comfortable, I go grab something else. And when you're not at home, that's a challenge. So I felt a little funny actually when I was
putting all my bags and putting them back in my car after the race, going, I was here for less than 12 hours. I have three bags. So, I don't know. But oh well. But I had everything I needed. I wasn't lagging anything, so it's good.
And you drove, so when you don't have to go on a plane,
right?
You don't have to figure out, how to logistically fit everything in the one bag. So, how about you, Lori?
The only thing that I forgot was I had it with me, but I just forgot it was hand sanitizer. So everything else was good. I had everything I needed.
Yeah.
Did you get getting there? How did you guys met each other?
So we did take separate. We ended up taking separate cars because we in the house that I'm staying in, four people were doing this race today, besides me. So it was five of us. So we met Lara there, and super easy to find each other. Lara and I have Find My iPhone.
Yeah.
share your location on our iPhones. So she knew where to find me.
I did. And we kind of were in geographically, I was north of the race site and they were a little south of the race site. So it worked out. We were, we just kind of met there and it was easy. And I was told that the parking was significantly easier this year than it has been in past, because of the lack of spectators, because they really weren't encouraged, and it was a reduced number of participants as well. So I didn't really have any problem finding parking, and it was a really easy walk in, and found those guys in no time. So yeah.
This question would be for you, Lori. Did you really notice there were a lot less people running the race?
Yes. Like, was it?
Okay.
Yes. So, there were a lot of people there, and we did get some footage and stuff of, so you can get an idea of the amount of people that were there, because there were, but they definitely trimmed it down, I think by like 2000 people for participants. And then they really discouraged spectators. And then I think even there were less volunteers.
Right. How about the porta potty situation? Did you have enough?
Susie, yeah. They had everything there. I mean, everything that you would see at a race, this race had. So it was like a real race situation. And they had a parking lot full of porta potties.
Okay.
Then they have public restrooms that belong to the park, where they start and end. And then they had another row of porta potties on the street. And what was interesting was seeing the socially distant porta potty line.
Because it gets long, right? Now, were people following the rules, like socially distancing themselves and wearing the masks and all that? Or did you see anybody not following those rules?
I think it's hard to judge on people socially distancing because people come in groups and stuff. So, right. You see people gathering together, but they probably are with each other.
Right.
But distancing yourself from people that you don't know, strangers and stuff. Yes. And
right.
Everybody wore their masks throughout the whole post-race area. And, in the corrals and stuff in the beginning, I didn't see anybody not, trying. I mean, obviously, if you're eating a banana, you pull your mask down. But other than that,
I think there were some groups of people who were together that may not, that were distant from everybody else that didn't have their masks on for short periods of time and things like that. But otherwise, I think people were really, they were doing. We want to be able to do it again. So, finding a reason, doing anything that would disturb that or take away from the possibility of that. I think that everybody there was trying to do the best they could.
How about the corrals? Were you guys in the same corral or were you in different corrals?
We were in the same corral. We and actually they were really easy to find. They were pretty good sized generally. The group behind us, though, there seemed to be a lot in that particular corral, but it could have just been my perception in the dark in the morning. But they had lots of space in the corral, so you weren't like right on top of each other. And and actually, I think I know Lori can speak to this about the difference of starting out in the corral versus the way that it has been in the past. I thought it was great, so.
I did too. And so we all talked about this later and everybody, you know, like I said, the house that I'm staying in, everybody, you know, was doing the race too. And everybody agreed the corrals, they should keep. It was really set up very nicely and you weren't like all smushed in with people. Right. And, you know, like if you wanted to get to a pace group or something, you had to really like, you know, it was like going to a concert or something. You had to part your way because it's such a small area on those streets. But the way they had it spaced out, it was really nice. And we were able, everybody had plenty of room to run. And it's a big run, walker, Galloway method race. And so you have a lot of people that will all of a sudden stop. And right. It was a lot nicer for that reason alone, because you had more room to maneuver around the people that suddenly started walking, you know?
Right. Yeah. Did you feel like you were truly with people who were at your same pace? Like when you were running, or were you passing a lot of people who were slower than you were?
Yeah, I think it was a mix. Mostly the people, I think there were generally a group of people that I started the race with that were very nearby at the end as well. So I do think it was somewhat, you know, we were all in pretty good placement, but there were definitely some people that we passed and a few that, goodness, some of the really great marathoners and all, like, flying by us. So it's like, hello, the first marathoners. We're 4 miles in and the first marathoners coming their way around. So
I know, that happens all the time, though.
Like, what the heck?
Where are these people going?
And we did, I felt like there was a lot of leapfrogging. So I'd get in front of somebody and then I'd be on my walk portion and then they'd pass by me, so that was a little funny, but yeah, and generally I think we were pretty good.
Now was it hot when you started? How was the weather like?
It was not hot when we started. It was, I think, like 65, and then it was
great.
75 when we finished. It was 75 and the sun was very bright. But really, I mean, it was a perfect weather day.
Yeah,
you couldn't ask for better weather. I don't think
it wasn't too
hot. It was hot and sunny at the end, though, and especially if you were doing the marathon, you might be struggling. I mean,
the longer the day, you know, in the middle part of the day, it's gonna get hotter, and then you get hotter too because you're running longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you keep losing electrolytes. So, which was gonna be my next question. Did you feel you had enough stuff on you to support you through the course? Did you grab anything from the spectators or water or anything like that?
I grabbed, I only took water. So that's the only thing I took along the way. They had bottled water, bottled Gatorades. I think that was it at the different stations. And we talked earlier about the fact that it was in some of the places, it was really nice that they had actually loosened the lid for you. So it was so much easier at the stops that they did that. And that was great. And I think in some cases I drank more water because of that, because I didn't want to waste the bottle. So I was filling the handheld that I took with me. I was refilling that plus trying to drink as much as I could. There was a lot of waste. I only saw one place where they handed out goo mid race, and I didn't take any, but they did hand some out. I carried everything besides grabbing water. I brought everything I needed with me because I just didn't know what to expect. So
right.
Well, they did put on the race, I don't know, the online race guide, participants guide,
they did put, you know, where they were going to have water and Gatorade and gels. And they held true to that. It all was there. I think the gels were around mile 8. I didn't take them because I use honey packets. So I don't know. I just tried to get away from goo. But they did have the goo there. So if you needed it, you could definitely, you know, pop 100 calories in your, or whatever goo is in your mouth at around 8 or 9 miles.
I also avoided the shots and the beer.
Oh, yeah. There was also, yeah, there was beer shots. There was fireball shots. Yeah. Not as much though. I mean, normally it's like the whole way. I mean, you could, but there was only a few people out there doing that today. Not as many.
So was that the spectators or the organizers giving the beer?
No, spectator.
Oh, okay.
It's a neighborhood, Susie. So you're like running past people's houses. Like it's waterfront homes. And so they just come out and they set up like tables and, you know, cheer people. That was most of the spectators we had, was people, homeowners that were just out like in their driveways with their cowbells or whatever. So yeah, it's just people, they come outside of their house with shots and stuff.
So in terms of, it's pretty flat, right? This course?
There's some rolling hills, but nothing, they're Florida hills. So you would probably call it relatively flat and we would call it hilly, right? Sarah?
Yeah, it was rolling hill. It was definitely one of the flatter ones around. We have one that we do the Best Dam Race in Safety Harbor in February. That's definitely got a little more elevation than this particular one does. But there were some ups and downs, and they're actually really more gradual. So you'll be running and you'll be like, oh, this is really great, until you're going the other direction and you're like, oh, this is not so awesome. Just need to go up. And up. So, but no, in the grand scheme, it was a pretty fast course. So,
right.
At least for me.
How did you do in terms of how you were, like, how did you feel the race went for you, like physically and mentally? How did you guys think you did?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I felt fine. I was, you know, I felt good with it. I ran close to 5 miles with Lara. And we did a run-walk method that she kind of came up with her own recipe for. And Lara walks really fast. So I found that I was just almost running while on the walk. Like I was like I don't know, but she doesn't look like that. When she's walking, she looks like she's walking normal, but she's walking very fast. So after a while, I couldn't keep up with her walking. And so I was like, I'm just going to run. And so she pulled away from me at that point. So probably like around close to 5 miles, we ran together. And then, you know, the rest of it, I mean, I was fine with it. Now I am still working on a hamstring injury, and towards the end, my hamstring was feeling pretty tight, but it was, you know, there was 2 miles left. So you just power through it, right? You know, so
right.
It was good. It was good. I was pretty happy. My time was 2:39:15, and I wanted to be like in the 2:30 to 2:35. So I was about 5 minutes off, I'm fine with it. I wasn't really trying to accomplish anything big with this one. So I just really wanted to do it, you know?
Right. So. And I find that when you're running with other people, because you have to adjust to their pacing, I think it's very, unless you run with someone that you really like synchronized with, it's hard to do any kind of PR or anything like that, because you might, you know, a big part of going to a race is pacing yourself, and not every day you feel the same way. So sometimes you have to just throw away the strategy and say, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
And yes. I knew that Lara was so ready to do something really good today, because she just trained, she just did a marathon.
Right. Right.
So she's got this huge endurance, you know, behind her.
And so I started to pull away and I looked at her and I'm like, go get it, girl, go. So I'll leave it to her to tell the rest.
Okay.
Because she's got a good news.
No, I really, so I love running with Lori. I mean, we'll run 10, 12 miles together the entire time in a training run and, you know, and chat the entire time and just have a blast. And my goal today was to spend the day running with Lori and then, but Lori was so sweet because my walk is so fast, apparently. I don't think it's
that. You know it is.
and she was so sweet to say just go. So after having tried the Galloway method for the marathon and how that the first part of that going so well, I said, well, you know what? This is the race. I'll try and do it the entire way, and I did, and I felt, and it was amazing how well I felt. I did get tired near the last couple of miles. I was feeling it just a little bit. But you know, that's in my head. I've learned this the last couple of miles of any run. I know it's the last couple of miles and I'm just counting them down. But I surprised myself. I came in at 12:23. And I had a goal of 2.5, so, or not 12:23, 2:23, and I had a goal of 2.5. So I've never run anything longer than a 5K under 11 minute miles. So for me, that was a big deal. I know it's not particularly fast for a lot of people, but I was really, really, really pleased. So,
well, that's awesome.
Really,
congratulations to you both, guys. Because half marathon, we as runners were used to saying it's just a half, but it's a lot of miles. I mean, 13.
For it's normal people, it is, right?
So once you're going through the finish line and everything, how was the finish line set up? Because I know you mentioned it's going to be different from other years.
It was lame.
We described it as anticlimactic. It was you went through.
Did they have an arch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it had balloons on it too. I don't know. Didn't it? Was it a balloon arch or something?
I don't think it was a balloon arch. It was just the traditional big finish thing. There might have been a balloon or two on the side, but it wasn't. It wasn't any.
But it was clearly, you knew where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew where to go. Well, it was, so for me, having been my first time to have ever run it and not knowing where the finish was and that it had actually moved in the past couple of years, you're running through Cocoa Village and there are people there. There's other finishers there. You know, there were a few people along the street at the little, you know, by the little stores. Again, not a lot of spectators, but there are a few people around. So they're, you know, clapping and waving and you're like, woohoo, this is great. And you're at the finish. And then you look and you're like, I still have 0.2 to go. And the last 0.2, you get past all of that and you're back on your own again. And there's no spectators along. You're just kind of quiet. So at the last two, you're like, I just got to get through. I got to finish. And then without them handing out the awards, or not the awards, but the medals and all that there, it was just kind of like, get through, grab your towel, grab your water, and you're done. So,
right.
You know, that's all that, that's how it ended today. So,
They did have masks, I will say.
Yeah.
At the end, so we had our buffs with us. We were equipped, although they were just so hot, we actually went for the masks because the buffs were too heavy and hot. But when you come through the finish line, the first thing you see is masks on both sides. Like you can just pick up one and you're ready.
That's
to
awesome.
Go. They really thought ahead. And then they had the towels and it was like, help yourself. You just get the towel.
Which, because this that was important for Lori to say, because one of the things, as we crossed the start, Lori and I noticed that there was litter all over the ground, and it was the people who had started that had ripped off their masks and threw them. So there was a whole bunch of masks you were running through at the start of the race. So you knew there were people who were coming through at the end who didn't have one because they had discarded it at the beginning. So
did you know in advance that they were going to have masks at the end? Oh, wow.
I didn't know.
Mm-mm. They did tell us that as you were getting into your corrals, that if you didn't have a mask, that they would give you one. But they did tell you in all of the pre-race stuff to bring a mask, you know, to plan to have a mask, not to plan for it to be given to you. So
in my mind, it's great that they had masks at the end because they get lost. Mm-hmm. They get wet, you know, like. It's you know, and masks in the big scheme of things, they're not that expensive when you buy them bulk, and you know that you're going to cover people, you know, like there's no excuse for people not to have a mask on.
Right.
So at least that liability, you know, as a race organizer, you're covered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was smart. That was great. So then at the end, they didn't have the beer and the festival and all that, right?
They had beer, Susie.
Oh my God. did you bring your own?
They had regular beer and they had some craft beers. You can. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Get whatever you want. And then they had the soda, you know, they had Coke, Diet Coke, milk, and then they had, we took video of it. They had bananas, apples, and then bagged snacks, like a bag of Ritz Bits, a bag of smart food, little cracker packs and stuff. It was granola bars and stuff like that. They had a variety of things laid out, and it was like they kind of would push them out on the table so they were spaced out, and then you could just go and grab them.
That's really nice. So it sounds like it was really well executed. I mean, it looks like it was really well organized and just well done.
Yeah, I think they did Absolutely. A great job. Lori, tell them about the awards, how that worked.
Yeah, so Debbie's two daughters placed second and third in their age group.
Oh, wow.
So they were fat. They're like cross-country high school people. So they went up and, you know, they just go up and get their award. There was no award ceremony. So they just go when they're ready and pick up their award. And then they got to go up and take pictures with the astronauts, since, you know, they have astronaut statues and stuff out. So you can go take pictures with them. So they did that. It was up on the stage. So when you do go to get your award, they announce, okay, this person's here. But was not your typical award ceremony where they go through, you know, I think youngest to oldest, men first, women, you know, it wasn't like that.
Well, so, is there anything that you would do differently with your training or anything you were or anything?
I don't think I would have done anything differently. I couldn't train any differently because I was training for the marathon and then
you were really well trained.
And then I was injured. So, you know, I was injured before that. So, and I'm really, really bad at stopping and taking rest time and I work through things more so than just relax and let them heal. But I did that this time. I had, you know, a lot. We are running tribe. I remember, what was it? I think it was 3 days after I had injured myself. I went out with our group and went to go run with everybody, and they all looked at me and said, "What are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You're hurt. If you're going to run your marathon, you need to sit down. You know, you need to take it easy." And which is not my inclination. So I'm grateful for all of them who really pushed me to do that. And doing that got me to a place of being able to do the marathon and then turn around here a month later and do the half and not be in pain. I'm not feeling it. My ankle is not feeling anything these days. I wouldn't have done it any differently. And I'm grateful for the people who helped me do it the way that I did it. So, because I would have done it differently under my own, given my own devices. So, I dressed the way that I would have dressed. I don't think I would be, it was great. We were ready. So how about you, Lori?
I was well prepared. I did all my training. I felt really, really good about it. I was fine with what I wore. The only thing was my water bottle. So I wanted to bring, it was recommended that we bring a water bottle. And Debbie was like, "You're bringing a water bottle." Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, "Look, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I know that there's water stops, but I don't know." And so I train with a water bottle, and I have like a hydration belt that my water bottle goes on. Well, when you're running a half marathon and you got this thing sloshing on you, I'm not used to that. I'm used to training with it. But when you're trying to push it a little bit, it's like this damn thing. And I ended up doing what you do, Lara. And I ended up taking the water bottle and holding it in my hand. So I wish I had known, but it was like an unknown to me. And,
it's better be safe than sorry. I feel like it's better to say, "I carried the water. I shouldn't have carried it." And saying, "I didn't have enough water. I should have carried a bottle of, my water bottle with me." So
yeah. And I shouldn't say the water bottle itself is fine. Like on the two marathons I did, I carried the water bottle with me, but I only had a little bit of water in it. Like, how when you do Marine Corps and you know that you're going to go quite a distance without any water. Yeah. And so I didn't want to, because I need water. I definitely need it. And so I didn't want to be stuck. So I've run with the water bottle, but it being full, it was just sloshing all over the place. It was not good.
How's your hamstring right now?
It feels okay right now. It's tight, but I'm going to do some stretching tonight. And I have some medication that the doctor prescribed for me for anti-inflammatory. When I started going to him, I took it every day, but now I only take it if I have, major inflammation. And so I did take it today. So that helps.
Right. It should be better tomorrow. What's your next? What are your plans? Have you thought about what you guys are going to do next?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. We got plans, don't we, Lara?
Yeah, we already have. We've already had to put out our training plan for the next races. So we have been, because you can't stop. I can't remember the first time I think I did a major race and then I stopped for three or four weeks. It was after that, I felt like I was starting all over again. So,
right.
We can't stop. But we have Best Dam Race in February. It's February. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing all three races. So I'll do a 10K and a 5K on Saturday and a half marathon on Sunday. And Lori, what are you doing for BDR?
For Best Dam Race, I am doing the 5K and the 10K challenge. And then I'll be there on Sunday to cheer you on and everybody else that's doing it. There's a bunch of people that we run with that are doing that half marathon. I've run it several times. I'm not a big fan of, there's so many hills.
Where is that one?
Did you mention Safety Harbor, Florida?
You mentioned
it's very local for us. Like literally it's within a few, you know, it's close by. It's a 10, 15 minute drive.
Right. It's hard to let, you know, pass them by, you know, like when they're close, it's like, I've gone so, much further for, So,
That's how
you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So,
And I think Lori is waiting to hear about the Gasparilla. I haven't signed up for it because there was so much, because I didn't know whether they were going to run it or not. So, but you can talk about that, Lori.
So I'm going to be, I am signed up to do the 15K for Gasparilla, which I do every year. I love that race. I actually love the 15K distance. It's my Me favorite. Too.
Yeah.
I'll be doing the 15K. Now I really believe that they were waiting for Space Coast to happen and see how it went. Because the parade, it's a huge event in Tampa. I mean, it's the thing that Tampa is famous for. And the parade has been postponed until April. So a lot of people thought, oh my God, we're going to be running in April. And it's like, they have not postponed the races yet, but they put out an email the other day that said that they're trying to decide what to do. So hopefully other race directors have looked at Space Coast and have seen that it's something that you can do responsibly.
Right.
I feel like it was done responsibly. And hopefully other people have seen that and they'll figure out a way. You know, if Disney World can be open and people can go to the Bucks games, hopefully they can make it so that people can, you know, go outside and do outdoor activities. If we can, you know, if they can space them apart, which I thought that they successfully did today. So
right,
those two, I think they're going to tie together when this is all said and done. So my fingers are crossed that they looked positive on this day.
Right. And when is it supposed to happen, Gasparilla?
It's in mid-February.
Okay.
Yeah,
mid-February. So.
So they really should make a decision
soon
because it's getting close. And then, you know, people start training and then you need to, you know, make sure that people know if it's happening or not.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. I think all of these different races that we're waiting for, I have a triathlon in April that I'm waiting to hear if it's going to go or not. And then we have the Keys 100 relay that a group of us are doing. So running the Keys down, and we're waiting to hear whether that's going to happen yet too. So, and I think today was a really important day for some of these larger races to be looking at how they did it, what they did well, and if they can pull it off in a similar fashion. So
right, and all race directors talk to each other, so they, you know, they go to these conferences and they talk on the phone and they're on Zoom. So I'm sure they're sharing tips on how to make it happen. So hopefully it sets a precedent moving forward. So
that's what we hope.
Yes, I really do.
Very nice. You guys rock.
Or you have the bling. Show the bling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my goodness. This stuff is bling. Crazy.
So this is the metal. I mean, this thing is, it's like.
It's heavy.
Oh, my God. You could kill someone if you hit someone with that. It's beautiful.
It's Project Apollo. I know it's backwards, but it's Project Apollo. And then, so Lara has this one.
Sorry, my husband saw it and went, that's a trophy. And I'm like, yes, it is.
Because it stands. I mean,
yeah, this one is not. This is the Moonwalk Challenge. This was the 3-year challenge for completing 3 years. So really, really nice medal.
The medals are like,
they are.
Yeah.
They're really
great. And then, this is the shirt and it's got like the Project Apollo on the side and, you know, the logo, and it's got, these are all the different missions. I don't know too much about these but like Debbie, she could go and this, she would list them all off just by looking at them. But like this one here is Apollo 8. So they're all listed. Oh, they're in order. Apollo 7. So it's a really nice shirt. We probably won't wear it very often.
No, probably not. It's got like the big moon on the front.
Oh, wow. But they're like nice quality and great color and everything.
Oh,
they are. Actually, my husband's mad I didn't get it in his size so that he could wear it, because he would wear it more than I did.
But he didn't run it. I mean, no, but it doesn't matter. You have to tell him, next year you run it and then you get yours.
That would be fun.
This was awesome, girls. I'm so proud of you that you did this and you trained and you trained through injuries and everything. I mean...
Well, that's true, right? That's what runners do. I think I'm learning that if you haven't injured yourself, you probably haven't run far enough or hard enough. So
I was going to say that we all crossed that point in which, okay, I overdid it.
Yep.
And it goes like that. Yep. It just happens so quickly. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for letting us talk about it.
I'll be looking forward to your recap with video of you guys running and having fun. It sounds like it was a lot of fun.
It was really good. Just great to be out in a race again, like a nice big event
with a lot
and
of
having people around and the energy from people. It really means a lot.
Right.
Yeah. I got teary just walking into the venue. It just was overwhelming, and because it felt so good.
Right. Okay, girls. Thank you so Susie. Much.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Susie.
Legs up. Stretch. <Yeah.
laughs> Well, I hope you enjoyed this interview. If you did, can I ask you a favor? Would you write a review on your favorite podcast platform? This helps our community grow. And it also keeps me motivated to keep doing this and bringing you other amazing guests. Also, please go to our other social media platforms and let us know how we're doing. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and the links will be in the show notes. With that, I hope you are having a great, great week, and I hope you tune in to listen to next week's episode. Run fearless!